This train is inbound.
From Sector C.
My crime is that of outsmarting you.
If you have not yet submitted your identity to the retinal clearance system,
communications interface online.
You're not dealing with AT&T.
Automatic medical systems engaged.
Welcome to the internet, my friend. How can I help you?
Defensive weapon selection system activated. Have a very safe day.
From San Diego, California, I'm Drake Anubis.
And your radio voice is quite interesting.
Well, I can do the radio voice. Hey, everybody, I'm from San Diego, California, and this is Drake Anubis. How you doing over there, good buddy?
And from sunny Tampa, Florida, I'm Enigma.
You know, what's his name wanted me to do the Mort Goldman voice more often.
What's the Mort Goldman voice? I'm sorry.
My psoriasis. Oh, no.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what have you been up to, Drake?
Not much. I've been doing stuff. I've been out of town lately with the road trip thing going on. Mainly, I've been maxing, relaxing, all cool.
Yeah, yeah. And as usual, putting in the 50-hour weeks, it's the schmuck, so...
I have a shirt that says that it has the Fresh Prince air conditioner on it, and you can turn the settings from a chilling out max and relax into all cool.
Huh.
Yeah. Do you get the reference?
No, I don't. Oh, yeah, that's... yeah, yeah. Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Chilling out, max and relax and all cool, kicking some b-ball outside the school with a couple of guys.
Okay, you can stop that now.
Well, yeah, I didn't know if you got it.
You can stop that now.
It's important to the show. It matters a great deal.
It does not matter.
Okay, go. What's going on tonight? What does matter a great deal?
I don't know. What are we talking about tonight? Is it my topic tonight, I guess?
Yes.
My topic tonight. All right.
So better I guess... I don't have anything.
Oh, so it's your fault. So I guess we're going to talk about...
Yeah, you can pin this all on me. I was wrong. You remember the song? I was just playing.
Yes, I remember the song. Yeah. I got it. We were having some technical difficulties before the show, so it
Enigma
was...
Enigma left.
I did not leave.
I was alone. I said, baby, come back.
You can play and you all. And you even played it. You want to play a little bit of it?
Baby, come back. Any kind of fool could see there was something in everything.
What the hell is that?
This is one of the bands that played at Eurovision 2009. It's kind of like American Idol for the European area.
Okay.
It's a song about shoes, and if this guy had better shoes, maybe he could marry the girl of his dreams.
Okay.
The voice is awesome. Check out the voice. Hold on a second. Моя стара ципела, пола света
видела, где года станем туми дом. You know, that
Isn't
sounds
that cool?
Really awesome, by the way.
It's pretty awesome.
Not the song itself, but, you know, just across the mumble little server we're using. But anyway.
Yeah, it does.
It does.
But so for the love of science, what are we talking about tonight? I'm all amped.
You're all amped. I guess we're going to talk about, you know, home PVR, DVRs.
Right. I was amped.
Why were you? What the hell? What the hell, dude?
Well, I'm channeling the audience, and the audience is like, oh, I'm ready for such a great show. And then they're like, okay.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Don't kill the messenger.
You're killing me here. You're killing me. So I have a question for you, Drake. What do you run?
Speak.
What do you run with your DVR? You know, media stuff at your place.
Well, I'm not a big fan of the TVs, but we do have a movie night occasionally, and for that we tried for the longest time just to run the projector off the computer. It's not so great. So we solved the problem for the most part with an Apple TV, and it works very, very well.
So how do you like the Apple TV?
I actually like it a lot. I wouldn't have bought it if I wasn't making so much money at the time, and I couldn't get such a great discount on it. But it's actually pretty cool. It's so small. It's so cute. Yeah, it doesn't have a power button.
So tell me a little more about the Apple TV, because I don't know much about it.
It plays files that it has on it. It has a hard drive and Wi-Fi, and it syncs automatically with iTunes. So whatever movie we're going to watch, I put it into iTunes, and then it shows up on the Apple TV.
But it has to be in the proprietary whatever.
Yeah, Apple. It does. You do have to actually go and convert it, which is kind of a bitch, to be honest. But it works so well after that. Now, I didn't want to run into the problem, because I've had, you know, open source media players before, where it will play anything, but then you put anything in there, and it's jittery, or it drops frames, or it just doesn't work perfectly. The Apple TV works flawlessly, and I can control with my iPhone.
Yeah, but you've got distortion with the whole converting crap, and...
Oh, no, I can convert like a pro, you don't understand.
Well, for the
That's
average...
That's why I sound so great.
For the average home user, I wouldn't recommend, you know, going that route, especially if...
No, what you would recommend is going with, they should have Linux in their front room. Much less complicated.
Well, it's pretty much out of the box these days. I mean, you know, some of the distributions like Mythbuntu or NotMyth are fairly simple to install. Like I'm running
NotMyth.
Yeah, NotMyth. It's Nopix. I think they changed the name of it, but it used to be NotMyth.
Not good.
It
not great.
Shut up. It's basically anything, the Myth TV, which for those who don't know, Myth TV is a open source PVR, DVR, whatever you want to call it.
The Legend of Myth TV.
Thanks for your witty banner. Yeah. Basically, it's, you know, a DVR like you would get from Bright House or Fios or wherever, or your Apple TV, you know, just on a Linux platform. But the benefits for going with Myth TV is it's completely customizable. I mean, you can write your own scripts to do whatever you want on the front end or back end. You can get a plugin. Like I have a Hulu plugin. Like the box talks right to the Hulu service. Which, do you know what Hulu is, Drake?
I'm well versed in the Hulus.
Okay. Well, then I can play Hulu right on my TV via the Hulu desktop.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's kind of clunky. It doesn't work with all of my applications, because I've got like an iPhone app that I use as a remote control, so I don't have a true remote for my Myth box, but I use the Apple or the I forget what it's called. Hold on, one moment.
It's just called Remote.
No, it is called MyMote.
Oh, you use some kind of off-brand third-party nonsense.
Well, it's a iPhone app.
If Steve Jobs only knew.
It's an iPhone app. It was free. I was perusing the App Store and found it, and it works wonders.
You know, I would actually want to install some kind of third-party thing on the Apple TV, because you can do that. You can rip it off and put on like XBMC and such, and it runs.
And I'm going to get to that, but let's go with my evolution of, you know, where I started and where I'm at now, and where I want to be.
There's so many jokes I can think of, I just don't know which one to go for.
Yeah, thanks.
Why don't you do your segment, I'll think of the right joke and come back to you.
Thanks. So, originally, back in the day, you've heard about my torrent box, Drake, and you make fun of my torrent box.
And we'll let the audience in. I do not make fun of your torrent box, I can't believe you would even say
that. You make fun of my torrent box. Okay, so...
What do I say?
You say that why would you have a box dedicated to torrents and blah, 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 blah. Okay.
Is that how I sound?
Yes. Yes, that's how you sound.
Like the blah, blah, blah.
Yes, how you sound. And your scanner made a beep. But that's beside the point.
That was the soundboard, yeah.
So, anyway. I have the need for... I don't pay...
Speed? Oh.
I do... You know, I was a poor college student once, and I didn't feel the need to buy HBO, Cinemax, Showtime, blah, blah, blah. So, I acquired such things from... You know, the internet with, you know, things like Hulu and certain services like that and torrents. But anyway, you know, I had a friend that, you know,
my friend
was doing this torrent box. So I have a
did he think it was dumb too? Or is it just
so,
me?
So my friend has a server that has, you know, a couple hundred gig of storage space on it. That runs this application called TorrentFlux, which is a web application. It's PHP front end with a MySQL back end.
It's kind of like the thing you have on your computer, only it's not on your computer. It takes up a lot more power space and it makes noise.
It does, but it also doesn't take my bandwidth away from my desktop.
It does too.
It doesn't take any processor cycles. It doesn't take any RAM.
What are you doing on your desktop that you need all your processor cycles? You have like 4 cores.
I didn't at the time. I only had like 2 cores.
But you do now.
Agreed, but I don't have this the size of the disk space in the box that I usually use, my laptop, versus...
Trade your Toucan Sam microphone in for a terabyte.
You know, they don't put terabyte drives readily in laptops these days.
Oh, your desktop's a laptop?
Well, my computer that I use on a normal basis is a laptop.
Okay, fair enough. Screensaver, no. No, screensaver, don't do this.
Yeah, you just saved it because you went crackly again. So,
are we okay now?
Yes, we're okay. Anyway, okay. Back to my story. So, at the time, I didn't have the highest end equipment that I have now, and thus I had the need for a dedicated...
Highest end equipment. I can torrent stuff on my phone.
Just stop. All right. So, I have this file server that sits in my apartment that contains all of the AVI files that I have acquired throughout the years. You know, 200 and some odd gig of files. Anyway.
But you don't go back and rewatch them.
I do go back and rewatch them, but that's beside the point.
No, you might, actually.
Anyway. So, at first, I would watch them on...
Well, let me give you a good setup. I have a great setup. So, you have all these files, but how are you going to get them to your TV?
Well, thank you. I'll tell you in a minute. But at first, I would watch them on my laptop, and that got old real quick. A 17-inch monitor versus a 40-inch TV. You take your pick.
Let me try again. If only there was a way you can get them onto your TV.
But there is.
Oh, good sir.
So the first thing that I did was, well, hey, why can't I just attach a computer to my TV and watch them, you know, off of a, you know, any Linux distribution that I wanted? So that's what I did. So I had an Ubuntu server or Ubuntu desktop attached to my TV. And I would just play across, you know, the network via Samba shares.
Samba.
Yes, Samba.
Yeah, Samba.
Okay. So that was evolution one. So I wanted to take it a step further. And one
new and improved.
The new and improved. So we went with a distribution called Mythbuntu, which is Ubuntu with a Myth TV front end all prepackaged and nice, comes on one ISO, install it, installs everything for you, no problem. A couple of things you need to be aware of with Myth TV is it does require, well, it doesn't require, but you, to get any benefit out of Myth TV whatsoever, you have to have a capture card, and you can...
It's such a pain in the ass to configure.
They aren't really. Not these days, but...
Not capture cards, but Myth TV, I mean.
It really isn't. It's... The hardest part is the capture card. And that really isn't that bad.
Oh my god, you know the coolest thing, and we're not to cut you off, but the coolest thing I've ever seen is that I actually had a Myth TV box in my living room once because we didn't have, there was some kind of billing dispute, and we didn't have satellite for a while. My dad's, like, addicted to TV.
Mm-hmm.
So he was watching stuff off this Myth box, and it was having some issue, and I had to go in and play with the setting. So I go to this, I have a rack mount server in my garage, and I go out there, or I have a rack mount server in his garage, and I go out there, and I'm trying to find a good setting, and I type in the wrong thing. I just type in Myth TV, which just launches the front end, and the Myth TV front end just appears on the server rack. Like, it launches X and everything, and it's right there. I'm like, holy crap. Because apparently the front end and the back end are separate, because we had the front end in the living room, the back end out here.
Right.
So you can just spawn the front end wherever the hell you want it. And it's like all your media is right there. It's like running a thin client and having all the processing power somewhere else.
Yeah, you can do that. And I was going to get into that in a bit, but not there yet. That's where I want to be.
You got to send me show notes so I know where we're going.
Yeah, well, we'll get there eventually. What is this, show 6, show 7?
Yeah,
something like that. Anyway, so I went with Mythbuntu because it was easy to install. The hardest part, again, was the capture card. And a couple of things to note on the capture cards. You need to make sure and, you know, put this in, you know, double quotations or double exclamation points. Ensure that Myth TV supports the capture card because it doesn't on a lot of them or doesn't on some of them, let's say. I went with, are you familiar with the Hogpog cards, Drake?
Yeah, I just don't know how to pronounce it. I call them Apache a lot.
Yeah, well, it's they're called Hogpog or Hogpog, I think.
They're not called Hogpog.
What are they called? Pots?
I think it's like Hopachaws or something. There's a pachaw.
Whatever. We'll put it in the show notes. Those cards are you know, universally supported through most versions of Myth TV. So I went with, I believe the, I'm going to butcher the name, Hogpog,
Yeah, Hogpog Bajaw. It's like Osh Posh Bagosh, but for a TV tuner.
It's a HD PVR 1600, I believe, was the card that I used.
Oh, so much better than the 1400.
You know, stop with your witty banter. You know, get off me for a minute. So I went with one of those cards, and another thing to note is you can only record one show at a time. Like, you have to have a tuner card per, like, if you wanted to watch a show and record a show at the same time, you'd have to have two tuner cards.
This is true.
So, like, my current setup only has one tuner card, so I can only watch or record something live.
Okay, but you can still record something and watch something you already have.
That is true. That's where I was getting to. Normally, when that scenario is, you know, occurs, I'll just watch something pre-recorded. There are a couple of things in the Myth TV that I really like are what's called Myth Video, which you can put your, you know, AVI files or whatever in this directory, and Myth TV will pick it up and you know, can play them for you. You can attach like a Samba Share to it. That's what I have currently. I basically have my Samba Share, you know, my server that has all my AVI files attached to my Myth box. And
what about, like, you were talking about Hulu? How does that work?
Hulu actually takes a little bit. It's not built in. You have
to, oh yeah, that's going back and forth because they always try and take it out and such.
Well, you have to. The front end is completely customizable. It's all written in XML, so you can add a line of code, and I can put this in the show notes. Of you basically download the Hulu desktop, install it onto your Myth TV box, and then put this line of XML code that basically calls the Hulu desktop, and your Myth TV will actually open the Hulu desktop, you know, just launch the application. So it's just launching another application.
Oh, so that's not very seamless.
It's really
okay,
not.
What about like YouTube or Netflix?
YouTube has, there is a customizable plugin for that. Netflix is a little trickier. There really isn't anything right now that, not to my knowledge, where you can play like streaming Netflix.
Oh, that'd be nice.
What was that?
Oh, that would have been nice. I think there is something for XBMC that will do it. I know that's based on Myth TV, so I think you might be incorrect. I think there might actually be a way to do it.
Okay, well, then there might be. I do not know of one off the top of my head.
Yeah, neither do I.
So going back to the setup, basically the hardest thing is the capture card. When I first set this box up, I had some issues with US broadcast versus US cable. One of them is over the air. Basically, you have to set up what feed in sort, or you know, what incoming feed you have. And if you set up US broadcast, it's the over the air cable. And if you set up the US cable, it's actually pulling from your cable. Makes sense. It took me a few hours to figure that out, but.
Really? Because I got it just now.
Yeah, thanks. Like, well, I didn't notice it when at the time. I didn't know there was another option there, you bastard.
You're like some kind of subhuman of intelligence.
Thank you. So once you have that set up, you can purchase a... there is one thing you do have to purchase for a Myth TV setup, and that is the Schedules Direct. That gives you the programming, the programming guide. And I think it's like $20 a year. It's cheap. It's like $20. And that gives you all of the programming so you can record shows, and it will download automatically every, I believe, day. You can set it up where it'll go out to Schedules Direct and download the next day, and it keeps 2 weeks worth of data on your drive.
Does it accept VCR Plus codes?
I do not know.
I just tangential relationship. I moved to VCR the other day. That had was a big deal because it was one of the first VCRs to have VCR Plus.
And what is VCR
Plus? Back in the day, you used to be able to buy a TV guide, and some of them would have like these six-digit or nine-digit codes next to the show. And if you punched in the code, it was some kind of shared algorithm, and the VCR would know and automatically set the record, start and stop time, the date, and all that jazz for you.
Cool.
So you didn't have to dick around with the setting. It was cool. It was a VCR, so it was as cool as VCRs can be. It was white text on a blue background.
Right.
But yeah, I just thought about that.
No, I don't know if it's this. I wouldn't think so, but anyway.
Yeah, me neither.
So.
I'm a screensaver.
Your screensaver again.
No. No, everything's fine.
No, it's not.
Oh, my God. Baby, come back.
You're not. You're Robo Man again. Anyway.
Okay,
so where were we?
I don't know. You were washing a window or talking about the best kind of Windex to use or something.
You know, people might actually think I wash windows for a living, and
no,
I really
people
don't
understand that. When we stop the show, he's like, that was such a great show. It's better than that time that I had to wash without the good Windex. And I go, oh, God, here we go. And he goes, no. Windex is so much better than Window X. They're two different brands, Drake. And you have this, I should write down the speech that you give and read it back. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. So, I was talking about Myth TV.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, something like that. So, I was talking about Schedules Direct, and basically, you download or you purchase this service that's, you know, $20 a year, and it will give you all the programming and fairly simple to set up. You can do it right within the Myth TV setup. It basically set up a username and password, and you're good to go. Other than that, it's a pretty simple install, and then all the plugins are the hardest portion. Like the Hulu desktop took me a little bit to figure out. The Samba Share thing took me a little bit to figure out. But other than that, it's just, you know, reading the documentation and figuring out what you want to do with it. And, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do with it that I haven't even touched yet. So, especially when it comes to decoding the or encoding movies or encoding shows, because like the data that sits on my drives are really huge. I record in a raw format, so like a half hour TV show sucks up like 1.1 gig of space. It's
is
insane.
Is this standard def or high def?
That's standard def.
What? 4K?
4K because I don't compress any of it.
Not even like H.264 or MPEG-2? MPEG-2 kind of blows.
I think it's H.264.
Well, that's compressed.
That's not compressed. Not much. It's not an XVID.
Yeah, that's true. Do you remember that scheme XVID had where you'd buy, where you'd buy DivX discs like at your 7-Eleven and then play them at your house?
Yeah.
Nah, that sucked.
Yeah. But, like, it uses FFmpeg behind the scenes, so you can take a...
I pronounce it FFmpeg.
Well, I pronounce it FFmpeg. So you can do any encoding that you want. I just took the default, and it sucks up a lot of disk space at the moment. But
could you theoretically use MPEG and like record straight to DVD or something?
Yes.
Oh, fascinating.
You could do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It will also. There is options in the default menu to play back DVDs. I've been trying to figure out how to do Blu-ray, but I don't have a Blu-ray player, so, you know.
Ooh, that sounds expensive.
Yeah, that's probably expensive. So
how about HD DVD?
No. So, a couple things I learned from my first build, which is kind of sitting on my floor right now, is one, you need a fairly quiet machine to build this on, because mine's kind of loud. So get the quiet power supplies, get the, you know, silent fans or, you know, water cool it or whatever you want to do. Just make sure it's silent, because it is very noisy.
What's your TV doing that you need water cooling?
I wasn't talking about the TV. I was talking about the computer that's sitting next to the TV.
That's what I meant to say. But I mean, you can't just get, you know, they make just really big heat sinks that don't even need a fan.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. Either no fan at all, quiet power supply, and, you know, do whatever you need to do, but make it quiet. because it's rather irritating.
Or DV. Yeah, there we go.
So that's one. Two is disk space. If you're going to record in the RAW or just leave it at default, you need a lot of disk space. Clear. Even if you, you know, compress it, it does take a lot of, video takes a lot of disk space. I only have like 300 gig in the box, and the version 2.0 that's sitting next to it that hasn't been built yet is going to have a terabyte of space in it. Where was I going with this?
I think off a cliff.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. your opinion is important to me.
I need the instant. You know I love you. It's just that when we're doing this show, the people appreciate the banter.
I'm sure they do. So I guess there's a couple of other PVRs that we haven't talked about. Another one that's open source is Linux MCE. Do you know much about it, Drake?
I feel like I do, actually.
It's called Linux Media Center Edition.
Oh, really? Thanks. I wasn't sure what MCE...
Yeah, thanks. Hey, I didn't know, you know.
Want to go home.
You are home.
Can I turn the show around?
Can I turn the show? But this is, I saw a really cool video, and I think there was a Hacker Public Radio episode on it, where this guy did some cool and, you know, like out of this world thing.
Is that the one
it.
Where you can like turn off your front room lights automatically?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure that doesn't work at all.
It does. I've seen.
Oh.
Yes. You have to have the right cards for it, though. You can buy these PCI expansion slots cards that do different things like door controls.
You can get what's called they make a thing called the Firecracker. It's for controlling X10 units. It's a it's just this loud thing that you put in the back of your serial port, and they will just shoot off X10 commands. And they also make a USB X10 module you can plug in, so you can write little macros and stuff for all your X10 stuff. And X10 is the largest, cheapest manufacturer of controlled lights and systems.
Yeah. So you can control your lights, you can control your doors, you can control. So I saw a video, you know, that's where I want to be, is like controlling lights, controlling doors, having like webcams where I can, you know, see outside my front door, you know, crazy things like that. But you can all do that through, you know, the power of open source and the power of, you know, systems like these. So Myth TV is just like scratching the surface. You can go, you know, way to the dark side or way to the,
you know, go below extreme. The surface.
You can go way to the extreme of, you know, controlling your whole house from a centralized source.
And why stop there? Friends, pets, a boss?
Yeah, why not? Myth TV. Why not? So another setup that I was looking at doing is having a, you know, how you were talking about the back end, front end?
Mm-hmm.
Doing something like that and having like the back end sit in, you know, my office and having, you know, front ends in every room. So you would have this small front end and
how many TVs do you own?
I own two. I have one. No. I have one. Well, actually I own three. one is this little 9-inch thing that I have next to my computer that I watch TV on while, you know, I just have something playing while I'm in my office, either coding or whatever. I have my 46-inch TV that's out in the living room, and then I have a 40-inch TV in my bedroom.
Mm.
So, anyway. So that's my setup. Basically, what I would want to do is have a small, you know, form-factored device in each room, talk to my Myth TV backend, and grab all my shows for me, or all my recorded content.
Or just, like, buy an Apple TV.
Or not. Automatically. How about not? Because the power of Myth TV is the fact that you can have, you know, this, you know, back-end, front-end scenario where I could have all my recorded content on one box, and they have, at least Linux MCE has it. I don't know if Myth TV does, but they have this... Bluetooth application that you can like put on your phone, and you can hit a button and say follow me, and your show will actually go from front end to front end, so you don't even have to stop. You can pause your show, walk into the other room, hit
the unpause. You can watch TV 24/7. Why leave the TV?
You know. Jeez. You're killing me, Drake. You're killing me.
TV everywhere
but
you
don't
go.
You think,
in your
don't
car?
You think the applications are cool?
Yeah, well, they would annoy me a little bit.
Why would they annoy you?
The Hulu thing? I've had the whole Myth TV set up a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And it's as you described, where if you want to launch some kind of external thing, it has to go back to the desktop, and it will always do a bunch of desktop resolution changes and all kinds of weird things.
No, it doesn't do that.
Application.
No, it doesn't do that.
Oh, well,
no.
That's an improvement.
No, it's fairly seamless. The only thing that annoys me about the Hulu desktop plugin is the fact that I can't control it with my remote control, my iPhone app.
What happened to your TV everywhere in the world phone?
What do you mean my TV everywhere in the world?
You were just going about how this phone that everywhere you go, now you have TV.
What?
The follow me thing.
Oh, the follow me thing? Got it. That is a Bluetooth application that just senses where you are. Against where the front end is.
Oh.
So basically you have a Bluetooth device on the front end and you have a Bluetooth device on your phone. They communicate and you have to have it on every single front end.
Probably kills your phone's battery life.
I would assume so, yes.
Have you tried XBMC or any of the alternatives?
Well, XBMC actually has a Myth TV plugin, and what my plans were is to, well, I tried it once and I blew up the Xbox, but so here's the story. I purchased
What an endorsement. Have you tried this great product? Yeah, I blew up my Xbox, but other than that...
I purchased this old Xbox, right? You know, $50 at GameSpot, got a refurbed Xbox. Actually got a game with it, too, but they left a game in it, but that's another story. Which wasn't a bad game, by the way. It was like...
What game was it?
It was like... it was NFL, it was a football game.
That's a bad game.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Regardless. So I bring it home, I follow the tutorial on how to install XBMC. Basically, what you got to do is you got to hot swap a cable. What the hell was that?
Oh.
You're staticky again. Come on, dude. Do you want to, you know, start playing music again? You know, please hold. Are we done yet? So can I go back to my... All right. Okay, thank you. So where was I before I got interrupted by your technical difficulties? You're really having some technical difficulties tonight.
It's all new. This whole computer thing.
This whole computer machine thing is new to you?
Yeah, the internets.
The internets. The interwebs.
All of them.
All of them. Okay. I was talking about the front end versus the XBMC thing. So they do have some alternatives, like XBMC is one of them. There's a couple others, but XBMC is another media, I don't know what to call it, a media, give me a word here.
Conglomerate.
No, give me a word.
Bathhouse?
Try again. Media player, media player, I guess, is the best word.
I was pretty close with bathhouse.
Bathhouse? Come on. Okay, so it's a media player that you can install on embedded devices like your Xbox, for example. Hence, XBMC.
Your SCADA system.
No. We can go into a tangent about SCADA systems another day. So, I had this Xbox that the way to get XBMC on it is you have to, there's a couple of ways. There's a soft mod and a hot swap of the cable. So I didn't have the game. I think it was Mechassault something. There's basically a buffer overflow that you can perform on it if you have the saved game file on one of the memory cards. Anyway, so I went with the hot swapping of the cable. Probably not the best idea. So I was okay. I actually got it I got the hard drive. Basically, the hard drive is locked, so you can't modify any of the contents on the, it's like a 20 gig hard drive or 40 gig hard drive. So the contents is locked on the drive, so you can't modify it. So you have to perform an unlock procedure either with the soft mod or the hot swap. So I chose the hot swap. Basically, you plug it into a...
Sounds hot.
You plug it into a computer, you boot the system with this boot disk, and in the middle of the boot, you swap it with the cable that's plugged in your Xbox, but both systems have to be on. So, not for the faint at heart. It's fairly simple, I would say.
How'd it go?
Badly, but not because of the hot swap. How did I know you were going to do that? That was good. I like that. We should keep that on the soundboard.
Yeah.
So I got the hard drive unlocked. No problem. The problem was when transferring the files over to the hard drive, the XBMC files, I ran out of space. Probably because there were saved games on the drive. So I went the route of swapping out the hard drive with a newer or a bigger hard drive. So I chose like a 160 gig hard drive I had laying around. So in doing this, you basically have to take the screws out and basically dismantle the top of the Xbox to get to the hard drive. And in doing so, I laid the hard drive down on top of the device and I hit the power button accidentally and metal touched metal and magic sparks came out, which was really cool, by the way. Wish I had a picture or wish I had some video of that because it was really cool.
You have the charisma of a damp rag and the appearance of a low-grade bank clerk.
Where's that from?
That is Representative Farge arguing with the president of the EU.
Ah, cool. Yeah. So, anyway, I bricked the Xbox. Long story short.
Can you unbrick it?
No. It's the motor.
Damn.
The motor is fried. And the fan motor is toast. Mm. So it's junk. So long story short is be careful where you set things and when you turn the power on. But anyway, that's for another day. So I guess the goal for my next Mythbuntu 2.0 is to have a back-end, front-end scenario where I have, you know, the box sitting in a room where it's it's quiet and, have the front end out in the living room with a smaller form factor because it is kind of ugly for, you know, someone that's not a geek. All the wires kind of laying around the front room is kind of not appealing.
I don't even think the Apple TV has screws.
Yeah, shut up. So if I didn't have a geek for a fiance and I didn't have a geek for, you know, she would kill me, but.
Is this the fiance who last episode you said she was a horrible person or something?
I did not say she was a horrible person. If she listens to this, I'm going to have her kick your ass.
I'm going to go back. I didn't say that. I'm going to go back and look at
Well, anyway, she, you know, she's a geek like me, so I'm fairly safe. But, you know, for the average guy that, you know, lives with a girl that's not a geek, probably...
A normal person.
Yeah, a normal person, probably not the best idea to have a computer sitting next to your TV.
Ill-advised?
Yeah, ill-advised. Probably get you some arguments. Now, I do have a friend at work that has a similar setup. Doesn't have a Myth TV, but is using the Windows alternative. Yes, don't send me hate mail. Can we have a boo on the...
I don't have a boo. The best I can do is something really... I can give you this sound.
God damn!
All right. But there's a built-in, what the hell is it called? Windows Media Center or something like that?
Oh, Windows Media Center is great.
It is not. It sucks.
It is. Have you seen it in Windows 7? It uses the same system of navigation that Windows Phone uses.
It blows.
It does not blow.
It blows. It takes way too much disk space, more so than Myth does. and it's in a proprietary codec, so you can't even take the file. And
no, that's not true. It will play anything that Windows Media Player will play.
Yeah, but it's proprietary, meaning you can't like encode it in an AVI.
It will play AVI.
It'll play AVI, but it won't encode it in AVI. Not to my knowledge.
Why would you want to encode something in AVI?
So I can take it and put it on another device.
When does that ever happen?
All the time with me. Exactly.
Well, it's not like it saves it in some kind of crazy file. It just saves it in like Windows WMV or AVI.
Which is a very bad codec for media files.
I think it might just save it in an AVI file if you ask it to.
I don't think it does, dude.
Well, even if it's Windows WMV, WMV is just like AVI, I believe.
No, it's not.
Well, it's like...
No.
What the hell is WMV?
It's not, a bad codec.
It's not from MPEG. It's a... Yeah, I'm trying to think of it. It's actually not that bad. It was bad back in the Plays for Sure days. You know, the Zune is not a Plays for Sure compatible device. But
I actually have a Zune, but that's another story.
A friend has a Zune. It's pretty badass.
Yeah, I have the old Zune, but anyway.
Yeah, that's not badass at all.
No, not badass at all.
Okay, well, what else do we have going on?
I think that's it for today. We're going to probably go into configuration and some more advanced topics on DVRs later on a later show, but I think that's it. We've been talking for about 40 minutes, so that's good for me.
Okay, that's fantastic.
So are we talking feedback tonight, or do we have any feedback? Why don't we have any feedback? We have feedback. I know we have feedback.
Well, no... to all those who sent in feedback, we appreciate it. And
that is such a lame.
Okay, well, we'll see you.
See you next week,
Tuesday. Go to the site hackradiolive.org. You'll notice it's the greatest site ever. Well, were you going to say something about the greatest site ever, hackradiolive.org?
No, how about Hacker Public Radio, who started everything?
Is that the greatest site ever?
Yeah, I think that's the greatest site ever.
No.
Hackerpublicradio.org.
HackRadioLive.org is where you want to go, people. The greatest site ever. There's a party going on nonstop. Leave comments, leave feedback, and engage.
What the hell is this?
Shut up. Engage with community members. And, hold on a second. Audience, isn't HackRadioLive.org great?
Why are we?
Is it the best site ever? Yeah. Yeah, I thought so.
Why do you have boy band music playing?
It's for the other show I did. There you go.
Why is boy band music? Okay, we're just going to end the show right there. I'm done. Okay, that's good. It's a wrap. Good night, everybody.